the movie.
Puff Daddy and the family. Can nobody hold me down? It's 959. It's Kai Drive. We are on the streets. We are on the air. If you just joined us, we're having a discussion. And that discussion specifically is about the funding of the ANC. As we currently know, anybody that donates more than 100,000 to a party, they have to declare that. And then we need to know where those funds are coming from. Now, you can argue about whether or not that best serves everybody, because transparency is a great thing in governance. But then you can also argue that, maybe it impedes certain parties from being able to raise a specific type of funding because people don't want to get investigated. Whether or not that is a fact, whether or not that is true, so zwangan. As I was saying on the line, we're joined by Dumisani Tembe. And we were speaking to him just before we went to news and sports. But the line got bad, so we had to just defer that conversation. So yes, as you were saying, people don't necessarily fund parties now, they fund factions.
Yes, what they do, they fund the faction that they believe is going to win.
Yes.
In the internal leadership race within the ANC in this particular instance. And then once that happens, then they can fund the ANC for the forthcoming elections. So whether they are legislating the funding of political parties or not, it is immaterial, because those with the big pockets prefer to fund the possible winning faction in the belief that they will gain some business exchange, or what we call patronage in politics.
So basically, as you're saying, if you were funding, let's use a past example of the CR17 campaign, which raised over R1 billion, if reports are to be believed, then you know, Uti, once you've done that and that faction happens to win, then your interests are covered. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely so. In fact, it's not even funding, it's an investment. You are investing in a forthcoming leadership. It's not even a funding of a political party, because there's some expectation in return, as Judge Mokgweng has said sometimes in the past. So, look, if you are going to take the money that was invested in the leadership race of either NDZ or CR17, that's in itself, it's enough money to fund the ANC collectively as an organization. But because in this country, people fight for the control of state resources by funding individuals and factions, then the organizations are going to suffer. It's going to be a very bad thing when I see this, because it means in the forthcoming election of the ANC, before then, no one will fund the ANC. What's going to happen is that once the leadership race starts, they will fund the individuals they believe is likely to win. And once that person wins and runs the ANC, then they will fund the ANC as a whole, because suddenly the ANC is useful because their own preferred leader is on the throne.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, just hold on to that thought real quick. We're joined on the line by Bob Dumisani Tembe, political analyst and good friend of the shows. And we're having a discussion, as you can hear, about party funding. If I'm understanding you correctly, right, you are saying once the preferred bidder or preferred leader then takes over the organization, then the funds should be able to find themselves back into the organization. But if we're looking at where the current ANC is, that has not been the case. If we are to, you know, believe reports again, the ANC is currently starved of funds. People that work at Luthuli House, some haven't received salaries for more than 3 months. So what happened in this particular case?
Look, so the last time that there was a major funding of the ANC or of the faction, it was en route to Nazareth for the last elective conference. And then after that, those that have funded the Nazareth victory, then they were able to divert some of their funds into the ANC as an organization, because their preferred leadership has taken charge. And now that has not changed, you know, since then. But in essence, this is what I'm saying, is that these people who fund the factions also fund the electoral process once their preferred faction has won. So somewhere in between, they don't really have to do the funding for the organization. But once the faction wins and there's an election coming up, then their funding is become necessary for them to fund the entire organization, because their preferred faction that is leading the organization can only be useful if the ANC, in this particular case, as a collective wins. So they fund elections.
So then tell me this.
Yeah.
The ANC as a party, how else would they be able to raise funds, okay, if not from just crowdsourcing or donations? Because it doesn't seem like they'll be able to win in that method. And I'm just speaking about the ANC specifically because they are the governing party. But essentially, this could go for any other black party, so to speak, because black people are not in control of the economy in our country.
That's very true. You see, the biggest challenge of the ANC, it's two things. One, it's lack of internal discipline. And therefore, people are in it for themselves and not necessarily for the collective, that's the ANC. And then secondly, it is the lack of what is called an internal cohesion, where people simply buy into the ANC, its values, simply because they are part of that membership. So what has become of the ANC is that it has ceased to be a team, and it has just become a set of lobby groups within one particular organization, but without necessarily organizational values. So because they are always trying to deal with each other, it makes it very difficult for them to operate as an organization. Because even those that fund, that will be funding the organization, once their preferred faction wins, they will prefer that faction to actually deal with others that were funded differently. So unless they become a cohesive organization, that they become the principal organization, an organization so rooted with internal discipline, an organization akin to the Communist Party of China, which is highly cohesive and internally and in its outlook. As long as the ANC remains a set of groupings of self-interest, it will become difficult for the ANC to emerge as a collective. It will be difficult for the ANC to attract funding to itself as an organization, and people will continue to find distractions.
So this, for me, right, then sounds like something that is risky to us as citizens. Because how can you have a governing party that is essentially broke? Can that party govern, in your opinion?
No, it can't. But it's not a case for celebration for citizens, by the way. I don't think a broke ANC is good for South African democracy. Look, let me address your first part. A broke ANC is bad for the country, number one. And secondly, the bad ANC is very vulnerable for capture. And thirdly, once the ruling party is captured, the state is captured. So a very broke ANC is very dangerous, both for the country and for the country and for democracy itself. And then fifthly, a broke ANC is bad for the opposition, because chances are you will not have an outright winner from the opposition during the elections. You are lucky to have a very, very fractured outcomes, such that as a society we end up with a coalition of losers in election, and not of winners. And once you begin to have an alternative political party or coalition running the country because the ANC is too weak, it also means that the trust and legitimacy on the opposition is very weak. So the best thing that could happen if the ANC was to lose the election, it will have to lose an election when it is very, very strong, because that will tell us as a society that people have definitely changed their mind about this political party. But if the ANC is weak and the opposition fractures itself into a coalition, including ANC people at some instances, it basically means that we could be led by a coalition of losers.
Now, one last question before I let you go, right?
Yeah, having heard, depressing.
No worries, and it is depressing, but to be quite honest, if you follow the sense, you will have seen this coming. I guess then my question to you is it naive of us to expect there to be clean money in politics?
Oh, yeah. It is extremely very naive, and I'll tell you why it is naive. Because in a society where the private economy is not generating enough economic activity to absorb a whole lot of people, being in politics then becomes a means of accessing livelihood. So that's why people kill each other and they run up to local government elections. That's why there's always contestation of outcome of elective ANC, you know, conferences. So as long as the government institution remains as the only source of income for many people in this country, we cannot expect a clean money in government. It's virtually impossible because people need to be in the state to make money, unlike elsewhere where people make money and then decide to go into politics. So what we call elections in this country when globe, we are basically employing people rather than selecting leaders.
That's unfortunately all the time that we have for this, but thank you very much for joining us on the line, joined by a good friend of the show's and political analyst, Dumisani Tembe. Just speaking about, I guess, the funding of the governing parties, particularly the ANC. You can let us know what your thoughts are. Send us your voice note 063-688-0959.